This is the word of the Lord found in Acts chapter 21, beginning with verse 1. Acts 21, starting with the first verse. "And it came to pass that after we were gotten from them and had launched, we came with a straight course unto Coos, and the day following unto Rhodes, and from thence unto Patara. And finding a ship sailing over unto Phoenicia, we went aboard and set forth. Now when we had discovered Cyprus, we left it on the left hand, and sailed into Syria, and landed at Tyre, for there the ship was to unlade her burden." We've been reading through the book of Acts, starting with the first verse, with the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ and His instruction to His disciples. We've read about the growth of the number of believers as the Holy Spirit blessed them. We've read about the growth of the number of local churches as it expands into Samaria and into Syria and into Turkey and into Greece and into Ethiopia. And we've read about how it expands geographically. We've read how the church has to deal with the problems of false doctrine, as some maintain that Gentiles must be circumcised after the law of Moses to be saved. And Paul and Barnabas had a great argument that salvation was by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Peter and James and the apostles and elders at Jerusalem agreed with Paul and Barnabas. And so we've read how the travels of Paul and Barnabas and then Paul and Silas, beginning from the church which was at Antioch in North Syria, how they went through the regions of what we would call Turkey today and Macedonia and Greece and went back and forth through those areas, and how they met opposition in every place, but God blessed there to be believers. And so churches were established in those places. And in chapter 20, we read how Paul, passing on his way in his travels, called for the elders of the church at Ephesus, where he had stayed about 3 years. And he called for them to meet him at the port town of Miletus and bade them to take heed unto themselves and unto the flock over which the Holy Ghost had made them overseers, and how there would be many adversaries and enemies and they would have to protect against them. And he told them that he was bound in the Spirit to go back to Jerusalem and how he would see their face no more. And that grieved them to hear him say that they wouldn't see each other anymore. And having said that, they embraced each other and wept, and then they accompanied him to the ship. And that's where Acts 20, last Sunday, where we were, ended. They were accompanying him to the ship. And so that makes this present chapter make sense. "And it came to pass that after we were gotten from them and had launched." So they went aboard after the elders of the church at Ephesus had prayed with Paul and wept with Paul and heard his final exhortation and encouragement to them. They went down with them and saw them get on board of the ship, and they launched out into the ocean. "And it came to pass that after we were gotten from them and had launched, we came with a straight course unto Coos, and the day following unto Rhodes, and from thence unto Patara." And so if you look at your maps, the ones in the back of your Bible or the ones that we had laminated, you'll see that what they're doing is coming around the southwest corner of Turkey. They had come back to the northern regions, northwest corner of Turkey, and now they passed by Ephesus, the little port town of Miletus, and they're coming around the southwest corner of Turkey, which is logical if you're headed back toward Israel and Jerusalem. And it says in verse 2, "And finding a ship sailing over into Phoenicia, we went aboard and set forth." So now they're going out into the eastern Mediterranean. "Now when we had discovered Cyprus, we left it on the left hand." What that meant is they didn't stop in Cyprus. They continued sailing just south of the island of Cyprus on their way to the eastern coast of the Mediterranean so they can get on to Jerusalem. It says, "We left it on the left hand and sailed into Syria and landed at Tyre, for there the ship was to unlade her burden." You know, I was just thinking how could poor folks like this, And Paul was not wealthy, and neither there were his traveling companions, probably. How could they travel these thousands of miles? Because if you look at that map and add it all up, it works out to be several thousands of miles that they end up going, you know, a little bit at a time. And if you think about it, there's several ways the Lord would provide. Sometimes the members of the church would give for the spreading of the gospel. Paul would use that to get himself where the Holy Spirit bade him to go. Sometimes he himself would work in order to sustain himself or to do what he needed. He was a tent maker, had that skill, and so sometimes he would do that. Other times you would find ships, and they would be going from one place to another, primarily to take cargo. And if you were willing to work while you were on the ship, you could work for your passage. Remember how much trouble it was for the British Navy to get people to work? They would send their press gangs into towns and into homes and into taverns, and they would just grab somebody. Didn't matter if they had a job, didn't matter if they had a family, didn't matter if they had any sailing experience. They would just grab somebody, and if they had to, knock them over the head, and the next day they would show up on the deck of the ship out in the middle of the ocean telling that if you want to survive, learn the arts of sailing that we're going to tell you. So in that day, a lot of ship's masters were glad to have somebody that would come aboard and cook or swab a deck or make up lines or anything that was needed to be done. Wasn't that much more weight to help him to get his cargo from one point to another. And so there were different ways, both by gifts and by labor and by willingness to learn in labor, that a person could get from one point to another. And so here they are, and they've sailed from western Turkey, and they've made it to Tyre, right on the coast of Phoenicia, what we would call Lebanon today. And if you look at your map, you can see the eastern Mediterranean. At the north, you've got Zidon, and below that, you've got Tyre. And below that, you've got Ptolemais. And below that, you've got Caesarea. And below that, you've got Joppa. And those cities are all mentioned in the book of Acts. And so here it says that they landed at Tyre, and that's where the ship was to discard its cargo for the sale. And finding disciples, we tarried there 7 days, who said to Paul through the Spirit that he should not go up to Jerusalem. And when we had accomplished those days, we departed and went our way. And they all brought us on our way with wives and children till we were out of the city, and we kneeled down on the shore and prayed. So when they got to Tyre, they found church members. That's what it meant by disciples there. Here were members of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ in the area. Now, Paul's ministry, we never read about him preaching in Tyre. We never read about him preaching really much any place except Damascus, and then telling his experience at Jerusalem, and then a lot of time at Antioch, and then throughout Turkey and Greece. We never read of him having a ministry in Tyre. So my point is, these may not have been folks that really even knew Paul that well, but they knew the name of Jesus Christ. And they knew when somebody was come and wanted to serve the Lord Jesus Christ and preach his word, and they wanted to help that. You talk about unity. To show up in a town where you may not even be very well known, and just by word of mouth, somebody shows up, and not only do they help you and greet you, they give you warnings about the danger of your trip, and they go with you with their wives and children and kneel down and pray with you. Now, brothers and sisters, I've experienced a little bit of this. When I was a young man and in the service, I'd be traveling from one place to another, and sometimes I'd show up in a town, and I had my little Primitive Baptist directory, or I had some other knowledge. Well, there's a congregation over here, and I've showed up in Southern California and in the Washington, D.C. area, and just dropped in on the services, and you know, I've experienced something like this. The welcome was so warm. It was We're glad you're here. We want to involve you any way you can. And we want to feed you. And we want to keep you as long as we can. And I've run into that over and over again. Somebody that was total unknown in the Washington, D.C. area. I looked up and saw, oh, there's a little church in Burtonsville, Maryland here, just north of the city. And I'll drive in and drop in on them. And I was 24 years old. I wasn't ordained. I wasn't trying to speak. They didn't know me. And I drove up on the church grounds, and out comes the pastor and another elder and some of the church members. And they meet me right at the car, and they said, well, we're glad you're here. Are you an ordained elder? I said, no, sir, I'm not. Are you a liberated brother? No, I'm not. Well, come on in. Help us lead singing. And that's the kind of welcome I've got. And stay for lunch. And you know, I couldn't stay long. I was there for a weekend before I got sent out on a training assignment. But that's the kind of welcome I've got. That's the kind of welcome the Apostle Paul got. That's the kind of welcome we ought to continue to give. It's a blessing that way. I hope that some of you will get to experience that. And here they brought their wives, they brought their children. They kneeled down on the shore and prayed. Verse 6, and when we had taken our leave one of another, we took ship, and they returned home again. And when we had finished our course from Tyre, we came to Ptolemais and saluted the brethren and abode with them one day. Here it is again. They leave the town of Tyre. They come down to the next town to the south, Ptolemais. They find there believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, and they keep them for a day. Verse 8, and the next day, we that were of Paul's company departed and came unto Caesarea. And we entered into the house of Philip the evangelist, which was one of the seven, and abode with him. So here they come, and Philip is probably a fairly well-known man at this time. Remember, we read about him in Acts chapter 8. After the death of Stephen, he went into Samaria and established churches there. And then the apostles came up to confirm the churches, and the Holy Spirit led Philip down into Gaza, where he met the Ethiopian eunuch and baptized him. And now looks like Philip has gotten four daughters, and the Lord has blessed those four daughters to have the gift of prophecy. They're believers that are blessed to see somewhat into the future. So Philip is a man who diligently serves the Lord. Look how he serves him, having established churches, having gone off and met the famous person that was the eunuch who was reported directly to the queen of Ethiopia, and having done all this and been led of the Spirit, he's blessed with these daughters that are gifted, but he's ready to put up travelers. He's a man of hospitality. He's a man of welcome. And that's where Paul and his friends stay when they're in the town of Caesarea. And it says, and the same man had four daughters, virgins, which did prophesy. Verse 10, and as we tarried there many days, there came down from Judea a certain prophet named Agabus. And when he was come unto us, he took Paul's girdle and bound his own hands and feet and said, thus saith the Holy Ghost, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owneth this girdle, and shall deliver him into the hand of the Gentiles. And when we had heard these things, both we and they of that place besought him not to go up to Jerusalem. Then Paul answered, what mean ye to weep and to break mine heart? For I am ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. And when he would not be persuaded, we ceased, saying, the will of the Lord be done. So Paul is staying there with Philip. And Philip's got not only them for company, but he's got some other company coming from Jerusalem. And it says down from Judea. Judea is actually to the south, but it is at a higher elevation. So Agabus comes out of the mountains, and he comes to the seacoast there at Caesarea and decides to stay with Philip. And there's Paul and his travelers. And while they're together, the Holy Spirit gives a prophecy to Agabus. He takes Paul's belt. Now, that may have been a belt of cloth or something, but he takes Paul's belt and he ties up his hands down to his feet. And he says, the Holy Ghost said, this is what will happen to the man that owns this girdle when he gets to Jerusalem. Well, Agabus has already had prophecies that have come true. He prophesied there would be a great famine. Remember in one of the early chapters, God had given him an accurate gift. This would happen. And here's a curious thing. The Holy Spirit was leading Paul to go to Jerusalem. But not only was the Holy Spirit telling Paul that you're going to be in trouble when you go there, but he was telling other people that Paul was going to be in trouble when he went there. I want you to just think about this for a minute. The Holy Ghost was telling Paul to go to Jerusalem, but he was telling Paul and other people that told Paul that there was going to be trouble when he got there. You say, isn't that contradictory? No, it happened in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. He went by the commandment of God, by the direction of the Holy Spirit, to be crucified and to there pay for the sins of his chosen people from every nation. And he went knowing that it would be that way. And you know, sometimes he would go to a place and his disciples would say, this is going to be trouble for us to go there. And the Lord would still go there. And he told his disciples the same thing. You're going to need to go out and preach as the Spirit leads you. But he says, there will be men that oppose you. He says, yes, even he that killeth you will think that he's doing God's service. And that's something that we need to realize, is that God may bid us to follow him and to meet and worship, even in a time when we know, because God tells us, that there's going to be difficulty ahead. And yet, in all that difficulty, did God bless the Lord Jesus Christ? Yes. He accomplished the mission of salvation, of redemption of all his people, of paying for all their sins as he hung in the darkness on the cross. Did he bless the other disciples as they encountered persecution? And Peter went to prison, and John went to prison, and Stephen was stoned. Yes, the church was established. Did he bless the Apostle Paul as he encountered difficulty in the cities in Greece and Turkey? Yes, even stoned and left for dead. And yet the churches were spread. You need to know this. In a fallen world, following God may not only mean getting in trouble by surprise from time to time, it may mean walking knowingly into opposition and difficulty. And the Lord sometimes will tell us in advance that we might know that we go into opposition, right into places that will be trouble, and yet God will bless us because we do his bidding. And that's the case with the Apostle Paul. He was led by the Spirit to go to Jerusalem, even though the Spirit told him that you will be bound when you get to Jerusalem. Verse 15, and after those days we took up our carriages and went up to Jerusalem. There went with us also certain of the disciples of Caesarea, and brought with them one Mnason of Cyprus, an old disciple, with whom we should lodge. And when we were come to Jerusalem, the brethren received us gladly. So from Caesarea, there was a group of people that went with Paul and his companions, and it included one older man, and he was a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was from Cyprus, and he had a place near their destination where they could stay at his house while they were dwelling in Jerusalem. So they took their host with them, traveling from Caesarea to Jerusalem. They brought their host, and he was willing to keep them, he himself being a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when you look at your maps, you'll see that many years have elapsed since Paul first left Antioch by the leadership of the Holy Spirit, saying, separate me, Saul and Barnabas, for the work whereunto I send them. And they went on the first journey through Turkey, and then they came back to Antioch. And then they went on a quick journey to Jerusalem to defend the true doctrine. And then they left on another journey from Antioch, and this time he took Silas, and he went through Turkey, and he went right on into Macedonia, and then down into Greece, southern Greece, and then back to Turkey, and had some travels there, and then he went to Jerusalem, and then back to Antioch, and that ended the second trip. And from chapter 18 to this verse that we've read here, Acts 21:17, he went back again through Turkey and through Greece and then back again and has been sailing around the coast of Turkey, meeting with folks, and he has come back to Jerusalem now, and that ends the third and what is called the final missionary journey of the Apostle Paul. The next trip, long trip he takes, will be as a prisoner, because just as the Holy Spirit said, he was captured and bound. It will be as a prisoner from Jerusalem back to Caesarea, and then from Caesarea throughout the length of the Eastern Mediterranean back to the city of Rome. And you know, after we've read Paul's journeys there from Acts chapter 13, there hasn't been much scripture, maybe a chapter or a verse or two, where he wasn't traveling. And if you count the traveling down to Jerusalem and back to have the matter of the false doctrine decided by the apostles, he's been traveling for years and years and years, thousands of miles from Acts 13 to this verse, Acts 21:17. Now we're about to go, Lord willing, if he keeps us, for 5.5 chapters where Paul stays in Israel. And the reason he stays is because he's under arrest. And that journey to Rome won't start out until after Acts 26 is ended. It'll start at Acts 27. And those Acts 27 and Acts 28 are the last two chapters of the book of Acts. And it will describe his voyage from Caesarea across the Mediterranean all the way up to Rome, and the great storm and shipwreck they experience on the way. But I just want to mention that to you before I sit down, because here it is, this very verse that we just read, and when we were come to Jerusalem, the brethren received us gladly. You're at the end now of Paul's third great missionary journey described in the book of Acts. He's about to be staying put in Israel, or in Judea, and then Caesarea, for 5.5 chapters. We're about to read a lot of legal proceedings. And here's the marvelous thing. When Paul was traveling, he was preaching the gospel. You're going to see, even when he's on trial in a court of law, he's still preaching the gospel. He'll make his defense in a few short sentences, and then, while I've got an opportunity, let me tell you some things. And he'll go right into preaching the gospel with some effect, with some impact. And you know, when he gets on that ship in Acts 17, he starts heading back for Rome. You know what he does when they get in a storm? He preaches the gospel. And you know what he does when he gets to Rome and he's confined, awaiting his trial before Caesar? He preaches the gospel. And even when he gets on trial in Rome, he preaches the gospel. As a matter of fact, in the book of Philippians, if you read that, because the Holy Spirit's inspiring him to write these letters while he's traveling, I enjoy reading this at the end of the book of Philippians. He's under arrest, and he writes this back to the church at Philippi, which we read about in Acts 16. And he writes them and he says, "All the saints salute you, chiefly they that are of Caesar's household." What was Paul doing while he was in arrest, waiting for his trial before Caesar? He's preaching the gospel to Caesar's family. Now, that's a remarkable, remarkable perseverance, effort, and diligence in serving God, by serving God's children, by speaking the truth in love to them. But before I sit down, think of the lessons of this chapter, of this portion of the chapter, the first 17 verses. How God has provided a way for Paul and his companions to travel, to obey what the Holy Spirit is leading them to do. And how, even though the Holy Spirit's leading them to go there, the Holy Spirit is also warning Paul directly and through others, the trip's going to be difficult. You're going to be bound. You're going to be arrested. It's going to be hard, but finish your course and finish it with joy. And then finally, I love the lesson that part of the blessing we have in the church, because of the death and burial and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ and His commandments to His apostles and the apostles' commandments to generation after generation, is that one of the ways that we show love is by hospitality. And so he meets with the elders at Miletus, and they weep to think they'll see him no more. And so he sails down to Tyre, and the disciples receive him, and they put up those that are traveling with him. And then he goes down to Ptolemais and abides with the brethren there a day. And then he goes down to Caesarea, and he finds hospitality there. And then he travels from Caesarea to Jerusalem, and not only is he going to have hospitality at Jerusalem, but the old disciple that's going to be the host, the house where he stays, travels with them. There's that. You want to talk about a Bible tradition that needs to be kept and held. It's the one of hospitality. We ought to keep people in our homes that are church members, that are lovers of the Lord Jesus Christ. We ought to stay with people in their homes. Now, you don't do that just for entertainment. Well, sometimes you do. We just did that recently. But a lot of times it's so you gather and worship somebody that's trying to follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Give them a place to stay. Sometimes you may feel led of the Holy Spirit to visit in a place. They will give you a place to stay. Stay with them. And that's what the Lord Jesus Christ taught his apostles. He says, as you go from town to town, whatever house you enter into it, if it's worthy, let your peace be there. Go not from house to house. And so he sent them forth that way. That is one of the hallmarks of the early church. Following the Spirit in suffering, in His provision, and in hospitality as commanded by our Lord Jesus. May God bless you.